This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Mark Boulanger. For years, artificial intelligence has been touted as a job-destroying, politically problematic technology, but without any real advances. That may be about to change radically with new developments in machine learning and computer algorithms. Recently, the Stanford Social Innovation Review, based in California, conducted a webinar on the subject. One of the featured speakers was Daniel Bertossa, the Assistant General Secretary of Public Services International. The PSI represents some 30 million public sector workers in 154 countries. Mr. Bertossa.
If you look at the history of capital and labor relations, especially since industrialization, it's essentially one of power between capital and labor. And the employer controlled the capital, and particularly where there was unemployment, a reserve pool of labor, that gave capital quite a lot of power in terms of their negotiating that contract, either a direct legal contract or a social contract with labor. One of the things that labor has had, and particularly skilled labor has had since industrialization, is quite a detailed understanding of the production process. And it's often been better than the boss. So even if the boss owns a printing press or a machine, and even if the boss can find a worker at some point to run it, if you withdraw your labor, your ability to understand how that machine runs and what that machine does and how it relates to other machines and other parts of the production process is actually a piece of valuable information that's captured by workers. And what it means is that strikes worked, essentially. You know, withdrawing your labor was a tool that you had as a worker that enabled you to deploy, at least to threaten to deploy, when you're trying to balance up that relationship of power. And these days, we don't see as many strikes, but the idea of the problems of retention of skilled labor or quiet quitting, however you want to look at it, at least in the short term, labor had some specialized knowledge about the process of production that was valuable and difficult to replace. But with machine learning and algorithmic decision making, this is shifting. And we're seeing it for the first time amongst very skilled work. There are these groups of workers that no longer know more about the production process than anyone else. And sometimes the boss themselves doesn't know much about the production process either. Sometimes there's a third party that understands the production process because they understand the algorithm better than anybody else. And this represents quite a fundamental shift in power between labor-capital relations. I don't think it's absolute, but I do think it's significant. And I think it sits underneath a lot of the shifts that we're seeing. And it means a couple of things. It means workers need to be concerned and focused a lot more about understanding and monitoring the changes, not in the general sense, but as they impact and are applied to the production process in a worker's workplace or sector. Now, that is becoming much, much more important. And the second thing that's quite important is that they need to be involved in implementing the co-management of these systems, these algorithmic systems and machine learning, before the change is introduced. Because unlike in the past, once the change is introduced, it's very, very difficult to claw that back. I also think, and this is partly because I work for the Global Union Federation that represents public service workers, we need a much better understanding about the public good nature of data. Too many of the stories that are being told is about data as being gold or oil, something that you can dig up. And it makes sense because it is essentially extractive, the what's going on with modern capitalism. But unfortunately, treating data like an old-fashioned commodity misses some of the perhaps the more important and subtle elements because it's often a networked commodity, or it's a commodity that has traditional monopoly or public good values. So we think we need to think about it much more like a power network or a water network as opposed to, you know, a lump of coal. And when it comes to governments and government workers, this is really important because governments are traditionally tasked with keeping a whole lot of data. And we trust governments without data. We don't, but we need to for some purposes. And we focus the fact that government will have this data, and we need to keep hold them to account. And government needs this data to do some very basic governing. And increasingly, government no longer owns the data that it needs to do governing, or that it needs to do democracy. So whether it's really basic stuff like controlling traffic in a city, which is a basic city management task. If Google Maps owns all that data, then cities are reliant on private corporations to do its basic governing. School test results are another area that are being increasingly commodified. And if it's government's job to educate its citizenry, and if that has a public good nature, then we've got to grapple with the very real issues of what happens when private corporations own this data, and they own it in a way that's valuable only at an aggregate level and not at a specific level. And then the last point in there is that workers are increasingly created, well, they create this data, but as individual data points. And this data is not that valuable as an individual data point. It's only valuable when it's collectively owned. And what worries me is that the corporations in particular are capturing these large sets of data, and it's going to be very, very hard to claw that back after the fact. Because once that data has been commercialized and property rights have been allocated to it and it has a value, the politics of the situation mean it's very, very hard to regulate that after the fact. And I think just quickly, a couple of very quick implications of this. One is the productivity gains that we're seeing aren't able to be captured by workers, and that's driving inequality both within the workforce but across countries, depending on who owns the companies that own the data. And I think that leads us to who sets the rules. And we're seeing increasingly trade agreements dealing with property rights in data and the regulation of data. And these trade agreements, essentially what they do is stop governments from regulating certain things. And so what that's doing is it's stopping the ability of workers and governments from introducing the regulation into these important areas of life before we realize that we need to regulate them. And because these treaties are binding, they're very hard to get out of, because there's a lot less debate about trade negotiations as opposed to perhaps a national legislative proposal. A lot of the debate about the implications is going on before the average worker realizes that they've lost something. And so I think all of these areas from a worker's perspective are absolutely critical before you can even get into some of the sort of daily issues that workers raise about the fact the boss has bought a piece of proprietary software that now tracks them. Sitting behind that are all these broader political economy issues that, if they're not grappled with institutionally and collectively, workers and their unions won't have any chance to actually try to claw back some of that power in the workplace, because the tools and the institutions they need just won't be there.